Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Well, as I said earlier, the sermon today is about demon possession, but you know, we really don't talk much about that, except, you know, away from church, books and movies, they want to scare you. You know, they bring the devil into someone, and everybody's terrified. I remember being a kid, you know, so afraid, I thought, oh, if I think the wrong thoughts, will the devil inhabit me? And then somebody said to me, don't worry about that as long as you hold on to your faith, because you can't be inhabited by the devil and the Holy Spirit in one time. That brought much peace to me. And so we see the devil is really hard to find. He doesn't show himself in these ways, except in Bible times, it seems to be more common. Here we have in our gospel proof of that. A man is possessed by a demon. And it was interesting coincidence yesterday. I'm driving around in my car, and I hear Garrison Keillor, you know, the Lake Wobegon show. And he mentions this text in his church that Pastor Inkvist is preaching on. And I thought he put it well. He said, well, how would you feel if, you know, you're Jesus and you come out to this cemetery and this man runs at you naked, screaming? Well, that's about what happened here. Now, this story, this account, is especially troubling for this man because it's not just one spirit that inhabits him, but many spirits. It's so bad that he says his name is Legion. Well, I remember legions in the Roman army. I looked that up this week, and that could at some times have over 6,000 soldiers in it. So this is a terrible thing to have happened to this man. So terrible that Luke tells us that he's violent. In fact, it's so bad they have to chain him up and take him outside of town because he just can't control himself. And he lives not in a home but in caves, in tombs, where the dead are buried. Kind of ironic, isn't it, that the spirit of evil who brought death into the world drives this man out to live where the dead are buried, even though his body is still alive. Why is he out there? Well, there's no hospitals for the mentally ill. They don't want to kill him, as they respect human life, but they have to restrain him. I mentioned mental illness. I think today most people think that in the Bible times, demon possession was just, you know, what we would diagnose today as mental illness, a lot of people would say, but you study the Bible and you see the Bible itself differentiates between demon possession and forms of mental illness as they understood it. I mean, Jesus healed people of demons, but he also healed people from palsy, which is a neurological disorder that might look like demon possession, being unable to control yourself. The Bible makes a difference, and we should too today. But we would admit that it is rather uncommon for anybody to be identified or diagnosed as possessed by the devil today, or a spirit. And doesn't that fit into the devil's strategy? You know, he hides out. He wants people to believe he doesn't exist because you don't fight what you don't believe exists. What affects us today is that evil around us that torments us. And this can be very, very difficult at times. People not possessed, not identifiably by evil spirits so often, but by the common things around us. Addictions to alcohol, to drugs, to sex, to gambling, even anger, unable to control themselves, driven by their passions. Well, I read in the paper just this week that they're talking about children, you know, kids possibly being addicted to video games. Anything can become something that possesses us. Not that the thing itself is so wrong. God made all things good. But when it becomes so much of a part of our life that we struggle to get free from it, we are possessed by the impulse, that promise of pleasure that the thing or the behavior gives that we can't break free. It becomes harder and harder to resist. And that's the devil's angle, isn't it? That's how he works with us. He takes something that it's good, and he turns it into something that destroys us. It's always been his angle. Think about the temptation in the Garden of Eden. The knowledge of good and evil is a good thing. It just wasn't for us. And yet that's what he gave. All is good, but giving ourselves over to anything but God, giving our ultimate devotion to that thing, and it becomes a false god to us. And we end up serving our impulses and serving things. You know, that's especially dangerous because the gods of this world aren't satisfied until they've got everything, until we're destroyed. Just look at the string of violence that we've had here this last week. And just this one incident, these couple of fellas up in Chicago, who knows what they're doing? It seems maybe some kind of devil worship. Killed somebody there. Come down here, come to a farmhouse, tie some people up. That escalates into being chased by the police. They shoot someone, they end up down in Arcola, a sleepy little town. It's a standoff. Hostages are taken. Thank God no one else was hurt. That's how this progresses, you know, one thing to another. Well, this poor man, he's healed by Jesus. The Lord casts out these demons. But it's especially interesting that when the demons come out of him, they don't know where to go. They have to obey Jesus, but where do they go next? And so they go to these hogs, these pigs that are being raised around that area, around the Sea of Galilee. Mark, in his gospel, numbers them at about 2,000. Now that's a major operation for today to have 2,000 hogs, let alone back in Bible times. But I always scratch my head and I wonder, what in the world are they doing with hogs back then? I mean, this is the kingdom of God. This is Israel. And what are Jewish farmers doing with pigs? That was one thing that God had told them was illegal, to eat hogs, eat pork, let alone touch one. And yet here, this community has over 2,000 nearby. It just goes to show us how corrupted and against God's law, how unclean the attitude was in those days in their culture. Well, again, that reminds us of today's world, doesn't it? Yes. How corrupted we have become, and even though we have God's law, his holy law and will given to us in the Holy Scriptures, but yet we set that aside and say, well, we're going to live this way because it's more practical or it's better for us. God made all things, even made the demons. They were angels at one time, scriptures say, but they turned against God, rebelled, and were cast out of heaven. And being a Christian is knowing really who we belong to personally. Knowing and being known by the triune God of the Bible, the Lord and giver of life, the creator, and who the one who comes to us and recreates us in his own image through the death and resurrection of Christ. Being a Christian is knowing the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in this intimate way. But there is a danger when we close ourselves off to God and we seek in some area to gratify our own desires. It doesn't matter what it is. It could be just not loving other people in the way that we should, using them. When we do this, we really show ourselves to be no better than these demons, this legion of evil that inhabited this young man, fixed on our own desires at the cost of one man. That's what the demons did. And the spirit of selfishness possesses. When that kind of attitude comes upon us, we are on dangerous grounds, my friends, because that spirit is ready to take us over, fixed on our own desires. Now, God wants to cast out this spirit of selfishness from us. The Bible says when someone becomes a Christian, they are a new person. They are recreated. The old is gone. The new has come. And that means that they are no longer to be interested only in themselves, but first of all, interested and focused on God, But seeing God's love for the people of the world, we're automatically focused on other people and their needs and helping them in whatever way we can. Do you remember the mother of James and John, those two disciples? Do you remember her request? She said, "Lord, when you come into your kingdom, I want you to get positions of power for my boys because they deserve it. So you promise me that?" Jesus told her, "Other people want positions of power so they can order each other around." But he said to all his disciples, he said, "Not you." He said, "Whoever would be great among you would be your servant. Whoever would be first among you must be your slave. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." You see, the Christian's battle is not against other people here in this world, but with the demonic spirits of an unseen world. St. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 6, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." How do we do this? How do we fight against an enemy that we cannot see? How do we fight a devil who wants to enslave us to the desires of greed, of lust, of power, in order to fill us with despair and hopelessness? How do we fight? And it's like our soldiers over in Iraq. How do you fight someone who's invisible, who fights you by planting bombs and then running away? What do you do? Well, the scripture gives us some help here. First, in order to fight the enemy, we have to let God empty us of the enemy's desires. You have to look inside yourself and examine those desires that you have. Why do these things that we crave mean so much to us? Why do we act like we can't live without them, that we'll be so disappointed and so destroyed if we didn't have this thing or were allowed to do this or that? Ask yourself, where would you be if you could meet all your desires, if you could gain the whole world, but forfeit your soul? And the second place to go is to ask God for help. Ask God to forgive you in Christ for letting you become so overcome by your own unholy desires. Ask God to fill you not with the spirit of desire or the spirit of selfishness, but the spirit of his holiness, to guide you in a more blessed life, to keep you connected to the Holy Spirit. He does that when he brings his word to you and you trust in that. To ask God for these things, and these things he will surely give you. You know, the Lord blessed that demon-possessed man that day. He cast all of those spirits out. And he cast them into the swine, let them go there. And then the scripture says they all ran down the hill and they drowned themselves in the lake. So it will be at the end for the devil and the spirits and all who are overcome by them. They will all be destroyed in the end. Now the man wanted to follow Jesus. And Jesus said to him, "Man, you're now free." And he told him, "Don't follow me. Go home. And go tell everybody all the good things that God has done for you this day." He wasn't allowed to be a disciple like the others. But he said, "Your job is to go back home and to proclaim what's happened to you today." I think that's for us as well today. It's not for all of us to go and be a missionary somewhere overseas, is it? Or to go to seminary and be ordained, or to work here for the church, although some of us do. But it's to go in whatever place that God has sent you, whatever work that you do, and proclaim the good that God has done for you in life. And you know, the first thing that comes to mind is the forgiveness of sins that you have in the home in heaven. But then think of all the other things that God does for you each day and keeps you, delivers you from evil, from temptation, from addiction, and from all the terrible things that we see going on in this world, and preserve you. Tell others about that. Now, what are you going to do? Can you make other people believe? Of course not. The people didn't believe this man's story. When the shepherds of the herd of pigs went home and told everybody what Jesus had did, healing this man, they came out. And they said, "Go away. We don't want you around here, Jesus," because they were afraid. It doesn't say what they're afraid of. I kind of wonder. Now, were the people of the town, when they heard about this, were they afraid of the power that Jesus had? Doesn't say. Or were they afraid that the devil was going to come back and possess some of them or do bad things to them? Or maybe were they afraid of the loss of those pigs and whoever owned them would take it out on them? We aren't told. But we are told that they were afraid. And their fear led them to cast out not the devil and his demons, but to cast out Jesus, the Son of God himself. And they told him to go. And we say, "Lord, save us from ever doing this. Save us from ever casting out Jesus from us. Rather, fill us with your desires and your holy purpose. Fill us, guide us, and lead us in all the ways that you, O Christ, would have us go." You know, that's really my vision for this congregation of St. John, for you as one of your pastors, that we would be people who always welcome Jesus, not only here when we gather for services, but throughout our lives, welcoming God into all that we do and all that we say and all our thoughts and all our plans. Recognizing our need always for his forgiveness and love, and asking him to cast out our evil desires that hold us back from being the people that God would have us be. Also to be filled with his blessedness, with his passionate desires that he would give us. That desire, first of all, to thank God, as we said, for all that he does for us. That desire to welcome, to teach, and to lead other people to God, whether they be our children, like this week in Vacation Bible School, or our neighbors, or visitors here to our church this morning. That's what God would want us to do. And our desire to help those who are in real need with the word of Christ, but with also with a helping hand wherever we can. Our job is really simple, and that is, as God's people, to discover, to develop, and to deploy all the gifts that God has given to us, to you as individual people, for you are surely blessed. All the gifts that God has built into us, to be possessed not by the spirit of evil, not by the spirit of today and having all the things that we think we ought to have because somebody else has them, but to drive out all those evil spirits and to pour in that blessedness, pour that blessedness of life with God in Jesus Christ into ourselves. We do that by hearing his word, putting our trust in it, and thanking him for all that he does for us. May God fill you with these good spirits. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.